Welcome to Prophecy Radio, the Percy Jackson podcast that will keep you up to date on all things Rick Riordan and Rick Riordan Presents, including upcoming books, adaptations, and more. This is episode number 125. My name is Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And we're back. We did it.
Woohoo!
We made it. We kept our promise.
Not only did we do an episode 2 weeks ago to say, hey, guess what, guys? We aren't dead. We're here. But now we're actually recording two weeks later, like we said. Yay.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about this. I'm feeling like we're kind of easing back into it. I'm feeling a little more relaxed than I have been the last couple of months, and it's nice to just, like, look forward to this and hang out and do all that kind of stuff, so...
Agreed.
I'm pretty happy about it. I just want to say this because I'm excited. I'm seeing Wicked tonight.
Woohoo!
I'm super excited for it. I'm wearing pink.
Nice.
For Glinda.
Which is funny, because I would have chosen green...
Yeah.
For you, because...
Hey, you're wearing green!
I'm wearing green!
Ah, we're wicked!
I saw it on Friday.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Did you like it?
I did.
I know that you were a little hesitant.
My only comment... Like, the whole thing is wonderful.
Okay.
My only comment, and this may just be the Broadway purist in my brain...
Yeah.
...is they popify it a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
It's Ariana Grande. She's a pop artist.
Yeah.
You expect it. So, like, the songs are a little more... poppy and a little more produced than I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only thing that my brain is like.
I know that they did make some changes to some of the songs, and like I've been hearing a lot about like her battle cry and Defying Gravity, like the different riffs they put in there and stuff like that, which honestly, like, so you guys probably don't know this, but Kristen took me to see Wicked for the traveling show, right?
It was the national tour.
Yeah. And that was my first exposure to Wicked, really. I mean, I hadn't known much about it otherwise, other than just like pop culture osmosis.
Yeah.
And I freaking loved it. It was so, like, I cried at the end. Like, it's just so good. Yeah. And when I heard they were doing the movie, I was like, okay, kind of interested. We'll see how it goes. And I gotta be honest, when they cast Ariana Grande, I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And I don't, like, I know who Cynthia Erivo is, and I know she has an incredible voice, but, like, I'm not particular to her for any reason.
Same.
But, I mean, I saw that first trailer and I was like, holy crap, this looks... And my boyfriend, who hates musicals, like, there's like two musicals he likes. The Book of Mormon and The Producers.
That neither of which are surprising.
Yes.
I was going to say Sweeney Todd. Like, he probably would enjoy some of Sweeney Todd.
I tried to show him Chicago because I figured there's a lot for... people to like in
There's
Chicago.
A lot for men to enjoy,
yes,
specifically.
Exactly. It's about murder and women in lingerie, basically. And he thought it was so boring. He did not like it at all.
That is not a word I would...
I know.
Like, Chicago is not boring.
Yeah.
It's like very rat-a-tat and it's on top of like, everything's so quick. And,
just not his style. He loves comedies. So that's why I like, especially The Producers. Because my friend showed me that. Because I hadn't seen it before, and I was like, this is the one that I think you might like, and he really did like it. He's like, so-so on Hamilton. He's like, it's good, but it's too long. And I was like, I mean, fair. But he saw the trailer, and he was like, that looks good. And I was like, you do know it's a musical, right? And he's like, yeah, but that first trailer didn't show you any songs.
It didn't have any songs.
And I think that's what hooked him. And I've been trying not to show him anything since then, because I don't want him to, like, talk himself out of it. But we're going tonight,
nice.
So... I'm super excited, and yeah, I mean, I'm way less of a purist because of that. Like, I've listened to the soundtrack a few times, but it's not stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping, and all the songs I've seen on TikTok and stuff, I'm like, I don't know, these sound pretty good, so.
Yeah. I will say, one of the, like, standouts is Jonathan Bailey as Fiero.
Okay.
Oh my God, can that man sing? And,
okay.
And the dancing, and yeah, he's so good.
Okay.
Anyway. So, yeah, I think you will thoroughly enjoy it.
Good.
It was really good. I will say, my husband and my brother came with me, and my husband and I were both a little leery on it. Not because of any real reason, but because, like, with all that drama with Cynthia Erivo and the poster that was happening a little while ago.
Ooh, I don't know anything about the poster.
There was a poster made for the movie that had her full face, but they did, like, the Wicked poster.
Yeah.
But you could see her whole face.
Yeah.
Well, fans altered it to match
the poster.
The Broadway poster, yeah, where it hides the eyes.
Right.
And she got very upset about erasure. And it kind of rubbed me wrong because fans were not trying to erase her. They were just trying to make the Broadway poster out of her poster. And she, like, got very offended and out, you know, was very loud about it. And honest to God, you can feel however you want. Like, she's allowed to feel that way. I'm not saying she's not. But it kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. But no, like, it... So that's why my husband was a little like, I'm not sure. Because he loves musicals. He will go to any Broadway musical anywhere. But he,
you're so lucky.
Yeah. But he saw it and he loved it. He good. Thought it was really good, too. So, yeah. She's incredible. Cynthia Erivo is incredible in the movie. But, yeah. It was just one of those things where you're like, you know, you come across an actor or an actress and you kind of wonder, like, you know. And you're like, they don't come off this way. Or, you know, you feel a little off about them sometimes. And I think that was more or less what we were. It was just like, I don't really know her that well, so this is the impression I have.
Yeah, that's how I feel about her too, honestly, because I heard some things. I think back when she was playing Harriet Tubman, like, not a lot of people liked that because she's British, and I feel like she made some comments that rubbed people the wrong way. And, I mean, she seems like a very bold, outspoken person, so
definitely.
I'm really not surprised. I don't have any, like, personal grudges against her.
Same.
But I was always like, okay, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't ever have a reason to, like, go down a rabbit hole about her, watch a whole bunch of stuff or whatever. But very much looking forward to this. I've seen quite a few people who are like, I was very particular about what I wanted from this movie, and I was impressed. Or... a lot of boyfriends being like, oh, I don't want to go see Wicked. And then there was this one TikTok where she turns the camera toward him at the end of the movie and he's crying. like legitimately just tears streaming down his face. And I was like, Kevin's not going to cry, but I really hope that he enjoys it.
Steven had never seen Wicked.
Okay.
Like, never seen the stage play, which honestly surprised me because I thought he had. My brother had not. And he thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, had no... He laughed. I was listening
to... Steven went with you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Steven and Alex.
Oh, okay.
And Steven thoroughly enjoyed it. So, you know. And he doesn't mind a musical, but, like, he's not, like, a huge musical fan.
Yeah.
But he was laughing the whole time. There's a specific line in the library. You'll hear it. You'll know what I'm talking about. He laughed so hard, and even after the thing was like, I can't believe they made that joke. Like, it's so cheesy a joke, but it's so funny. So
I'm hoping, it looks like a very funny movie, especially with their dynamic. I'm hoping that's what gets Kevin hooked, is like the comedy aspect of it. So.
Honestly, the men's reactions to this movie reminds me a little bit of like guys who read Fourth Wing because their wives were like, read this book. And they were like, fine. And then they ended up being like, when does the next one come out? Like, ha-ha! Got you with the dragons.
Exactly.
Roped you with the dragons. Tried. And then, hey, look, romance isn't that bad.
Yeah, tried to do that with Kevin. He was very confused why they talked about their shoulders so much. And I was like, it's a thing. And now he refers to Iron Wing as Fifth Wing just to drive me crazy. And he keeps asking about Sixth Wing. He hasn't read Iron Wing. I almost just called it Fifth Wing.
Iron Flame.
Iron Flame. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
No, you're okay.
And yeah, he just does it to drive me crazy. So,
you know.
He didn't think it was bad. It's just not quite his thing, which I understand.
No,
so.
Definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a lot of Wicked talk. If you've seen Wicked or excited or aren't excited about Wicked, you can tell us all about that, along with all of your Percy Jackson thoughts, Chalice of the Gods thoughts, really anything. You know, we just want people to talk to us. You can contact us at Prophecy Radio Podcast on Instagram or email us at prophecyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Right now, those are the only two places we are checking, so sorry for everyone who's still on Twitter. We are not.
As I say, we may eventually try Blue Sky. We're still figuring that out.
Yeah.
But for now, Instagram, email.
Yes. So, we are going to catch you guys up on the news and updates that we missed while we were gone, and there's actually been quite a bit of casting, so...
As I say, yeah, most of the big news is the casting, which we were kind of expecting, because there are a handful of pretty sizable roles that we definitely need for the second story, the second book. So, first of all, because I think this was the first one chronologically that was announced, was Daniel Deemer as Tyson. You might know him from, like, a teen rom-com on Netflix called The Half of It. Starred, I cannot think of her name, but she played George on Nancy Drew.
Oh, I love her. Yes. Yeah.
I cannot think of the actress's name at the moment. That movie, he was one of the male leads in that movie. And then he was also in The Man in the High Castle, which I did not watch.
I watched the first season of that and just kind of fell off, but it was very good.
Yeah. He's done a few other things, but those were kind of the two that jumped out at me the most. So if you know him from other things that you love, please let us know, because we, you know, we love checking out new stuff, especially if we get to see a little taste of what Daniel Deemer can do.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm very excited about this casting.
He looks... I'm looking up some pictures of him right now. By the way, Leah Lewis.
Leah Lewis, that's her name.
He's 6'4".
Yeah.
So he's a big guy, which I think obviously you need for Tyson, and his head shape just feels right.
No, I hear you.
I didn't
he's
know.
He's got a very prominent brow.
Yeah, I don't want to be rude about it. He's a very good-looking guy. No, but, like,
but he's got a very prominent brow line, which gives you, like, that Cyclops energy. It's not... This is not at all an insult, I promise. But, like, he kind of looks a little bit... You know, he's got features that just give way to being a Cyclops. Like, I feel like it will work very well.
He's got broad features. I think that's the best way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, when they announced this, I think very shortly after they announced it, we got a video of him. Was it for Comic-Con?
Okay.
Maybe? I don't know. I remember seeing, like, a little intro video for Daniel Deemer, and it was, like, I was very excited. I didn't know him from a ton of stuff, but I had seen the half of it, and I was like, okay, all right. So, very much looking forward to seeing what he does with Tyson.
Yeah, I that's a really, really important role to get right. And as much as I like Tyson from the movies, because I did think that, like, he was a sweet character in the movies and stuff like that, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with it in the series and how it's going to look and how they're going to pull it off and everything.
Yeah, agreed, definitely. Okay, our second piece of big news, again, I don't know what order these next two came in, but I'm just doing them this way, was Andra Day as Athena.
Excuse me.
She is the single most gorgeous person.
Oh my God, she's so beautiful.
Her face is just so pretty.
Honestly, like, she looks like a goddess. Like, she's just got these, like, ethereal eyes and...
Yeah.
Oh my God, she's so beautiful.
She's done quite a bit as well. Like, she's been in a good number of projects. Most notably, The United States versus Billie Holiday, which she was nominated for an Oscar for. Mm. So, you know. As well as Bel Air, which was on Peacock. It was the Fresh Prince remake that just came out about a year, two, 3 years ago. What is time? But she also is a singer.
Mm-hmm.
She sang in the Billie Holiday movie, so you probably know her from the song, is it Rise?
Rise Up.
Rise Up.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's honestly the main, like, the first thing I knew about her was that song.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I've seen what else she's been in. Yeah. I just know her for that.
Yeah. That song has been everywhere for as long as it's been out. Like, that song has literally been used for everything. It's been used in commercials. It's been used for in
it's
movies.
A very good song.
It's a very powerful, very well written, very well performed song.
Yeah.
And that is her song. So you have probably heard Andra Day, and heard her music and probably seen her face quite a bit. So honestly, I don't think they could have done better.
No.
I think she is going to
be very, like, powerful aura about her. And they did post a picture of her with Annabeth and the two of them standing side by side. I'm just like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
Like, yes, please.
And she's holding a spear and it just, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't even remember who we dreamcasted into Athena, because I feel like we did that one.
Oh, yeah, we definitely did that one. I don't remember either.
I don't think either one of us could have possibly thought of her.
I don't think so.
But they're,
but again, you know, as soon as I see it, I'm like, there's no other choice. Like, it's just so perfect.
She is just so striking. Yeah. Absolutely otherworldly. I am very, very excited to see her take on this, this role. So, gotta love that.
Yes.
Okay. And then The third major piece of casting was Talia Grace, who we found out is Tamara, or is it Tamara?
I was going to say Tamara, but that's based on nothing.
I appreciate that because I should have looked it up and I forgot to double check. I'm going to say Tamara Smart for now. If you hear otherwise, please correct me because I do want to say her name correctly. And that is the only one that I was not sure of because Andre Day I've heard a million times, pronounced a million times. So, but yeah, I'm very much looking forward to seeing her as Talia. I think it's going to be, she looks great.
She looks perfect. Again, like, didn't really know who she was, but as soon as I saw her face, I'm like, that's Talia. And I'm probably the most excited for Andra Day, just because it's Andra Day. But I think for her, she has this, kind of like when we first saw Leah as Annabeth, that, like, attitude in her eyes where you're like, no, that's Annabeth. That's how I feel about her, and I think that she's gonna pull off this, like, punk rock kind of, there's going to be a lot of good banter, I think, between her and Percy and everybody else. It's just going to be so, so good. I'm very, very excited to see her as Talia.
Now, I have not seen any of the things that were kind of on her filmography, but some of the more notable things that I pulled out, she was in the Are You Afraid of the Dark limited series that Nickelodeon did just a couple years ago. She was in the adaptation of Artemis Fowl. I believe that was a Netflix movie?
I think so.
I'm not positive, but she was in that, and then has also been in the Resident Evil Netflix series as well. There are a few other things on her filmography that people may know her from, but I kind of liked the young adult sphere that she's been in, with especially Are You Afraid of the Dark and Artemis Fowl, because I feel like that is very good preparation for Percy. The Artemis Fowl stuff, I don't know a lot about the story, but, like, it's, you know, it's, like, YA fantasy kind of stuff from what I know.
Middle grade. Yeah. I think it's a little more middle grade.
So it's, like, it fits right in that sweet spot. And then with the Are You Afraid of the Dark stuff, it kind of ties in some of the darker stuff that comes up in Percy from time to time.
And I'm pretty sure Owen Colfer, who wrote Artemis Fowl, and Rick are friends, or at least friendly, because they're both Disney books. They've been in the circles. I went to a Disney dinner once, and they were both there, and Owen Colfer is hilarious. really, really funny. And I just remembered, Dior Goodjohn was also in Are You Afraid of the Dark, so the two have worked together before.
That's cool. It's nice when you get on set, and especially as a new person, and there's a friendly face or two.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I'm sure Walker is a one-man welcoming wagon. Like, that boy doesn't know how to not smile, so. But yeah, I'm very, very excited about these three big items, because, all three of those roles are pretty substantial and important, especially in the second book, but going forward as well. So I love seeing them get it right because it really does feel like they knocked these out of the park.
Definitely.
We do have one more bit of casting news, which I have to say we're pretty much right on time with.
Yes.
We're not really late on this one because it happened just a couple of days ago. We have a name for who is going to be stepping in as Zeus for Lance Reddick, who passed away last year. We know now that Courtney B. Vance will be stepping in to play Zeus. And I honestly could, I'm very, very happy. Courtney Vance has been an actor for a long time. He's a very experienced guy. He's done a lot of stuff. I, like, off the top of my head, cannot name, like, 70 things he's been in, but I know his face so well. Like, I've seen him in so many things, and I'm like, yeah, he's gonna knock this out of the park. He feels a little older to me than Lance. I don't know their actual ages, like, how old Lance was when he passed versus what Courtney is now. But he feels a little older to me, so I wonder if that will just lend a little more gravitas to Zeus. Like, as if Lance needed more. But, like, I feel like his age will help him kind of step into the role and, like, really give it that, you know, gut punch, Zeus scary thing.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. I'm not, like, super familiar with him, but again, I know his face. I know I've seen things that he's been in. Just looking at it real quick, the first thing he's known for is The Hunt for Red October from 1990. And then he was also in Lovecraft Country, which was that 2020 show that was really interesting. I didn't
watch it because it was scary. Or I was told it was scary.
Yeah, it's... Not overly scary, okay. But there are some elements to it, yeah.
Okay.
And it seems like he's been working quite a lot over the last few years. Photograph,
I think the two things I know him best from are American Crime Story, because okay. I watched the one, Johnny Cochran, that was the O.J. Simpson one, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so I watched that one, and he was really good in that. And then I also know him from Scandal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was only one episode of Scandal, I think, I remember him from that, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, he's been in a bajillion, million, zillion things.
Yes.
So, very excited. I think that he's going to be really good stepping into the role. And, of course, the gods can take any shape that they want. I'm curious if they will address it directly or if they're just going to leave it. I'm honestly fine either way. I don't think it would bother me either way.
Yeah.
But I think it would kind of lend a little bit more to, like, the lore and background if they did address it and he was like, I can appear any way I want. And then maybe he, like, flits through, like, three random people and they're like all like crazy cameos or something. That would be cool.
That would be fun.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, in terms of what he brings to the screen, it feels like very much similar energy to what Lance brought, so really looking forward to this.
I'm very much looking forward to seeing him, like, take this on, and yeah, I want to see how they decide to make the transition. It was definitely not a transition they were intending to make ever, so it'll be... I'm sure they have a way, full steam ahead.
Yeah, just, you know, roll with it.
Yeah. Like, they could do that, or they could, again, they could do, like, a fun thing where he looks seven different ways, and he's like, I can do whatever I want. I'm a god. I'm Zeus. What are you doing? All right. So, other than that, the only other news item I found was that the second season will be released in 2025. Mm-hmm. We do not know a month. We do not have any sort of idea of a date, but we should expect it sometime in 2025.
Right, so. And the last season was released in December. It started in December, yeah. I think. So, I don't know. Do you think that it could be early
25? I wouldn't put it past them to start it a little earlier, but I feel like they'll either start it in, like, June or July, or they'll start it in November or December.
Because wait that long.
I feel like you're butting up against cable, like, you're butting up against major network time, like, premiere time.
Yeah.
So September, October is, like, when all of the normal shows come back, and I don't know if they want to compete with that.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know how they want to... It's a digital streaming show, so it's not like... You know, they're directly competing, but my thought is that if they're ready, they'll put it out early, and it'll be, like, a July thing, so we'll get most of the episodes in July and August, maybe one in September. Plus, that's when kids are still kind of off school.
Right.
So, like, that's not a bad time, or they'll wait and do it in December, and it'll just be, like, an every 2 years kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know. So, who knows? But we should get some sort of new episode in 2025, so
yes.
I love hearing that.
I do, too. I'm very excited. And only because you mentioned Zeus, this has nothing to do with Percy Jackson. But I just have to mention that if you play Disney Dreamlight Valley, there is perhaps another Greek god who just showed up in the game that I, in particular, am very excited about.
In the expansion pack.
Yes. which is amazing. I love all of the new, like, elements to it, and...
It's so cool.
It is really cool. Yeah.
I was drilling really hard on the Star Path because I wanted to get it done. Anyone who plays the game knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But once it was, like, finally done and I had to kind of move on, I was very, very excited to dive headfirst into Storybrooke because, oh my god, it's so cool.
Yeah.
I love doing the little puzzles.
Yeah, that's such a fun element.
I'm enjoying doing the little puzzles and catching all the little snippets. And I've got... one side on each. I've got Elysian Fields and I've got one of the woods ones open. And then I just opened a second one past Elysian Fields.
Okay. I think I have 2 and 2 right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I'm half a step behind Karen.
I still have a lot of the, like, friendship quests and stuff from the more recent characters, like Tiana and, like, all of them.
Monsters, Tiana Inc.
And Pumbaa. Okay. I finished those. And then some other random things. But, yeah, like, I have not even finished with Eternity Isle stuff yet. And I was like, I kind of want to do that before I really throw myself into the other one. But I have been slowly working on that, too. But, like, all of the new items are amazing. There's so many more Greek items and meals and stuff. And, like, oh, makes my...
Including Ambrosia?
Yes.
It's on the list, and I'm very happy.
My little nerd heart is very, very excited. And I didn't look at the name when I first caught it. But, because I thought it was just a seahorse, it's not. You can catch a hippocampus.
Yeah!
You can catch, like, basically little baby rainbow.
It's a little tiny one, but it's so cute.
So, just saying, this is not a paid advertisement, but you should go get the game.
And I don't know if you've gone digging in the Elysian Fields yet, but you dig up broken armor, which just gave me Percy vibes. I was like, that's really funny. And, like, yeah, there are definitely some things in there. Mm-hmm. That it's all meant to be Greek. It's all... You know, it's because of Hercules and...
Not to mention, one of the critters that you can have is Pegasus.
Yeah.
So, in all different colors. Love it. Obsessed with it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Getting back on track, we are here to discuss Chalice of the Gods, getting back to it after months and months of being away. Which means that, of course, we have to do a brief little recap, because I don't know about you, but I remembered, like, nothing.
It was a little,
Yeah.
Trying to remember where we left off was a challenge.
Having read through it, I was like, oh yeah, I do remember that now. Like, this is good. So I actually went on this website called Paisley Reads, and we'll put a link in the show notes to her website to the specific page, because she breaks it down chapter by chapter, like, what happens. And I basically just pared it down even farther from there, but it was very, very helpful, and it was just, like, a really clean layout. Like, I just really liked her site. Very curious to, like, explore more about that and see what else she has on there.
That's
so
cool.
Thank you, Paisley Reads, for helping us catch up, because I really didn't want to go back through all our show notes and do it that way. That was my original plan. I was like, somebody's got to have a chapter by chapter out there.
That would have taken a while.
Yeah, so what has happened in Chalice of the Gods up until this point? Basically, the book starts off with Percy needing to complete 3 quests to get 3 letters of recommendation in order to get into New Rome University with Annabeth. She's already in, she's good, he has to do this because technically he shouldn't exist. And then as soon as he learns that this is what he needs to do, he pretty much immediately meets Ganymede, Zeus's cupbearer, who asks that he finds the missing Chalice of the Gods. He even gives them his top 2 suspects, which are Hebe and Iris. They immediately track down Hebe at her arcade called Hebe's Jeebies. Great name.
Mm-hmm.
Where she entraps people with nostalgia. This is a little bit Lotus Casino, but not quite as scary creepy. And after realizing that they're there to see if she stole the chalice, she turns them into 8-year-olds, and they get attacked by a bunch of chickens, which are Hebe's sacred animals. This scene was very vibrant in my mind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That was a fun one. Then Annabeth solves the problem by tricking Hebe into a room with them and a baby chick. Since Hebe always has to be the youngest in the room, this turns her into a baby. And to get out of it, she agrees to turn them back into their normal teenage selves and then tells them what she knows about the chalice. Iris is the only other god to have been the cupbearer, so Hebe tells them to find her at the farmer's market. Because, of course, she's selling her little... I don't even remember, like, crystals and stuff like that.
Rainbow-making apparatus, sorry.
Yes, exactly.
I made that up.
I believe it. Annabeth then gets Blanche, a monochrome-loving child of Iris, to introduce them to her mother in exchange for Grover to pose for some of her photographs. Since Iris is desperate to gain Blanche's love and adoration, she agrees to listen to the trio. And this is cool because, like, this is OG trio questing right here, which we've talked about before, this feeling very much like the original series.
And also getting Iris involved from, like, Iris messages, and Iris has been involved in all of the Percy books, but to see her actually get involved in the story directly is kind of cool.
Yeah. Iris has a hunch about the identity of the thief, but of course she's not going to give it to him for free, so she requires them to clean her Carrikeon, I think I'm saying that right, in the River Ellison first. So they have to go track down the river, and Grover acts as the lookout, but it's not long before he sends up a signal that it's time to leave. He may or may not be getting chased around by some snakes. Annabeth is then forced to shove Percy into the river in order to clean the staff, and Ellison is not happy about it and tries to drown Percy. Again, this is like something really vibrant in my mind because Percy drowning is not something that just anybody can do to him.
Yeah.
So the fact that Ellison is powerful enough to do this is a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
Percy uses his powers, which causes a giant tidal wave, and ends up cleaning the river up to be just like new. Ellison's a little shaken up. He's a little scared of Percy at this point. And Annabeth gives him some herbal tea to calm him down before she and Percy leave to meet Grover. Percy uses the staff to create rainbows to distract the snakes from chasing Grover. Remember how Annabeth told him he had to, like, dance and flit around and all this other stuff, and he was doing it, and he was like, I didn't have to do any of that, did I? And she was like, nope, I just wanted to see you do it.
And this stands out because it's the cover.
Yes, yeah.
Is it the American cover, or is it both?
I
think it's both.
No, it's the British cover.
The
American one has the vase on it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the British cover with all
that Khadija.
Yep. Yeah.
Did. Percy then trips and is surrounded by the snakes, but then remembers that the Carrikeon is a messenger staff, so he thinks real hard about how much he wants to tell Annabeth he loves her and flies right over to them at the mouth of the cave. That was such a cute scene. I really loved that. Once they return the staff, Iris tells them the chalice is in Greenwich Village in the possession of someone named Gary. She also gives them a vial of pure nectar to help locate the chalice for $5, by the way. I do remember that this is where we left off because right after this, the show came out, so we were hitting pause on chalice anyway. And we did a whole bunch of predictions, and I was trying to get you to guess who Gary was. And I don't think, like, we didn't have too many good guesses.
No.
Because who's Gary?
Right.
No idea.
Yeah.
So, did that spark everything in your head? You kind of feel like you're caught up?
Like, I think when I was trying to just generally think, okay, Chalice of the Gods, what's happened so far? And it was like, okay, Cupbearer, Ganymede, New York. I think the most prevalent thing was, like, remembering that they're in school. Like, this is all happening around their, like, normal lives.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuck out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. They have to go down to the river with the thing and the snakes. Like, I remembered that part. I think I forgot a little bit about Hebe, but the minute you said the chickens, I remembered them getting chased with the chickens. So, like, yeah, there were a couple of things that I think I had forgotten, but it's nice now I've got, like, a path. It's like, okay, yeah, that's one. Yeah, I remember all of that happening.
My other favorite thing is that this is all happening in New York. It's all pretty local. They're, like, taking the train, you know, somewhere. They go to Yonkers. They go to, you know, they're about to go to Washington Square Park, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
And it all feels very much within the vicinity of, like, where Percy is living and where he's going to school, and I really like that. It's not a world-ending kind of book, but it feels so genuinely Percy Jackson that I really love the vibe of it, and I'm really glad that we're getting back into it. I missed this book.
Yeah.
And honestly, doing that recap and, like, knowing where the story goes, I'm like, I'm really excited to read the second book now. I gotta buy that still.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. So we're on chapter 21. I offer relationship advice. No, seriously. Why are you laughing? So at the beginning of this chapter, Grover shows up in a black beret, sunglasses, and a white smock to cheer on Percy in his swim meet. Percy came in second because he didn't want... because he didn't need the attention of winning, which I just love that about Percy. He's not trying to be up there on the podium. He's not trying to draw too much attention. He just likes swimming.
Well, I also kind of love that, like, if you think about him at Camp Half-Blood, especially at the beginning of the book series, it's kind of the opposite. Like, yeah. Percy kind of wants the attention, and I think Annabeth would joke sometimes about, like, you know, he's not really an attention seeker, but I think he gets a little miffed when some other characters kind of take the spotlight a little bit sometimes. So it kind of made me giggle a little bit, because it's like, I know he's taking second place because he doesn't want to draw mortal attention, mm-hmm. but if this were at camp, he'd be fighting for first place. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. So it's kind of funny.
That is such a good point, because I have so many thoughts about this. Because, one, at camp, he's on even playing ground. Right. So, like, he's going to try his hardest because he might not win. You know, he isn't necessarily the best of the best. That's probably Annabeth. but here, like, he would basically just be taking advantage because the mortals can't keep up with him. And I also think going to camp, like, earlier in the series, you know, he had been kind of kicked around his whole life and never really felt all that special, except when he was with his mom. So feeling special probably felt pretty good. But also, he was getting a lot of attention he didn't want to.
True.
Because they thought he was the thief. When they found out he was a son of Poseidon, that was kind of a big deal. So I think he's seen the other side of getting a ton of attention and was like, yeah, no, I'm okay. I think I'll just come in second. That's fine with me.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit also of Clark Kent on Smallville. Mm. Like, he wants to play football, so he, like, holds back and, like, tries to retain, you know, contain his strength so he doesn't hurt people.
Or Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Like, yeah. There's a lot of parallels in that. So, yeah, I thought that was funny.
I love that. So Grover is there to cheer him on, but mostly he's just staring at all the photographs Blanche took of him. And the pictures are of him appearing dead on Fake Dead Nature. And I don't know, but that just seems like the opposite of what Juniper would enjoy for, like, a variety of reasons.
Well, and it feels like the opposite of what Grover would enjoy.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Grover is all about the power of nature. Why are you excited about taking dead photos of dead nature? Like, what are we doing?
He just got caught up in the art of it and was like, yeah, this is a great idea. And he's doing all of this for Juniper's bloom day. But yeah, I don't think she's going to enjoy seeing her boyfriend dead, seeing nature dead. It's just like,
celebrate!
What are you thinking, Grover?
Yeah, not his best work. Yeah.
But instead, he kind of made Juniper jealous by mentioning Blanche too many times. And this is when Percy doles out his relationship advice by saying to just admit he was stupid and he wasn't thinking, like he usually does when Annabeth gets mad at him. And when I tell you, this was Rick talking about Becky, I just felt it in my bones.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it, yeah. Listen, sometimes I'm just stupid, and I do the wrong thing, and it's because I didn't listen to you. You are correct. Moving on.
And I really liked the quote that was in this part two, where Percy was saying, I was the absolute last person who should have been giving advice on personal relationships. Well, maybe the absolute last after Zeus, my dad, and the rest of the Olympian gods, because how real is that?
It's very real.
So the real reason why Grover is there, I mean, he is there to cheer Percy on, but he also was going to ask the Cloud Nymphs about what's been going on in Greenwich Village. And they said they noticed some weird energy around Washington Square Park. Specifically, a lot of the nature spirits have either gone dormant or taken a vacation. And they make a plan to head there early Monday morning before Percy has his, I think it was a math quiz that he had early that morning.
Yeah.
So does this give you any other ideas about who it could be if the nature spirits are, because they even come up with a few options and all of their options are like, yeah, that doesn't really make sense. Because they say like Gary could be,
Geryon.
Geryon, yes.
Yes.
That guy.
Geryon? It looks a little like Gary, but it's like Geryon or something like that.
Yeah, which, you know, he's dead and gone, so probably not.
I'm pretty sure Percy says, been there, killed that.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
So yeah, pretty interesting though that the nature spirits have kind of pieced out of there.
Yeah. I can't say that there's any specific characters that come into my head about who this could be, but it doesn't bode well. If the nature spirits are piecing out,
mm-hmm.
that does it's not...
It's not a good sign.
Yeah. Like, this isn't going to be a friend. Right. So, yeah. Definitely have... There's no names that sound or relate to Gary that are, you know, popping up in my head. But I also, especially in Percy books, names can be very misleading. Yes. Like, oh, I want to go by Gary, but my name is actually, you know, yeah. Agamemnon. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some Greek-related name. But, like, yeah. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Gary is anywhere in the name.
Right.
So, yeah. Don't have any specific examples, but it does feel very foreboding.
Yeah. But it also feels like we're getting closer to revealing what's actually going on here, which is exciting.
Definitely.
After they make their plan, Grover admits he wasn't really worried about Juniper's bloom day, but that he's sad Annabeth and Percy will be leaving him to go to New Rome University, and just cue the tears, because that's so cute, and also sad.
Okay, so, when I was in, like, middle school, yeah, 7th grade, somewhere in there, my sister, or no, it was my 8th grade year, my sister was graduating high school. And that summer, she packed up and went to college. And my sister and I are not, like, particularly close. Like, I love my sister. But we're not, like, best friends. We had a lot of, you know, I was 4 years younger than her. We clashed a lot growing up, so whatever. But when she left for school, I cried myself to sleep for, like, aww. 3 or 4 nights. Because I was just so worried that the whole world was changing. And I was like, I'm starting high school and my sister just left. And it was, you know, again, very strange. Like, so I really, really felt for Grover in this moment, because I know exactly what he's feeling. It's like, they're moving on, and they're moving on without me, and that's scary, and I don't know when I'm gonna see them again. Like, you know, even if Grover goes off to do things, he knows to come back to camp to see them.
Right.
Whereas now, it's like, if they end up at New Rome University, if Percy gets his letters, then, you know, is he welcome to go visit there? Or are they not going to be welcoming of him visiting there? Are they all going to have to make time to get to camp to see each other? Are they going to meet somewhere else, you know, in the United States, in the world, whatever? So, yeah, I really feel for Grover, and I'm glad that he actually, like, verbalized it to Percy, because, you know, Percy is first to say, like, dude, we need you. Like,
I want to read the quote, because I thought, I didn't know if you were going to pick it for your favorite quote, so I left it there, but Percy goes, ah, Grover, we're never leaving you, buddy. We'll be back to visit. You'll come see us in California. You're like our life source, dude. We can only be away from you for so long before we start to wither, you know? And, like, that's just so sweet. I mean, that's very sentimental. And for a couple of boys to, like, talk like that and feel that way about each other, like, I think it's really important to show that on the page.
Well, and especially with Grover playing different size roles throughout the Percy Jackson books, from the first one to all the way at the end of book 10 of the whole saga, you know, Grover kind of flits in and out because he goes on quests and he's out in nature trying to do, you know, the work of Pan and all of that. So, like, there is a, you know, a future where they have to spend a lot of time apart, and there's a present where he's, you know, Grover is going to feel pulled and won't necessarily be able to be by their side. But the reminder that Percy and Annabeth prioritize Grover being, you know, a part of their life, and making sure that they don't lose that connection, and, like, you know, letting him know, like, no, we need you. You are not allowed to just flit off and never come visit. Like, you have to visit us and let us know where you are, and we'll try and visit you, and,
I think it's also important to remember that Grover is older than them. He has been around longer than them, and that just goes to show, like, what kind of connection they have as friends. And I wanted to mention something similar, too, because growing up, my, like, first really, really best friend was someone named Nicole, and we had been close since, like, 2nd grade, and in 8th grade, she had to move to a different school, and that was, like, that's, like, the end of your entire existence when your best friend moves away.
I was gonna say, eighth grade is a very traumatic time in a child's life because you're moving on to high school, you're figuring out how to be a high schooler, what that means, you feel like you're supposed to be an adult, but you just feel like yourself, and you don't know what that means, and then your friends move on.
Yeah.
I went to a small parochial school for kindergarten through eighth grade, and I moved to public school for high school. So, like, stepping out into the world and not having any of my friends really by my side was very scary.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, all of that. It's a very traumatic time. And so it relates so well to what Grover's going through here.
I really think that this is perfect. And you know what? Nicole and I, still best friends to this day. We talk all the time. And my other best friend, Deidre, like, the three of us get along really, really well. And you know, even if I know a lot of our audience are older people like us, but if there are any younger people listening to us, like, even when that happens, it's not necessarily the death of a friendship, especially if you guys both really care. Like, I could not talk to Nicole for a year and text her, and it's like nothing has changed at all. And I think the last time I saw her, it had been close to like 5 years since I had seen her last. Nothing changed. Just, I mean, exactly the same. And that's a really strong friendship.
And I will say, like, living in the current time and the current technological world, it's a lot easier to try and keep in touch. Even if it's just a quick little message every couple of months or something. Like, it is easier, I think, now to stay in touch with people who don't live near you anymore and all of that. So you have that also to kind of help not make it feel quite so, like, over the top dramatic, like, you know, you just
back in our day,
right? I know, back in our day before the internet,
the phone was still connected to the receiver with a cord
to the wall.
Yeah,
you had to sit in the kitchen and talk to people.
When you called somebody or when you were on the internet, people couldn't call you.
That was true.
I got in trouble with that a few times, but, you know. Yeah. See that, Mom?
Yeah. Oops.
Anyway, let's stop talking about how old we are. what's next? Actually, that is the end of that chapter. So, it does, you know, Percy has to go off and do another race.
Dive.
He has to dive. Right.
He had to go dive.
Yeah.
So, because he does everything.
Yeah. So that kind of ends that chapter there. A little bit of a transitionary chapter, but we do get some good information from the Cloud Nymphs, and we get some emotional bonding between Grover and Percy, so I thought that was good.
I also feel this was kind of the perfect chapter for us to step in on, because it was really nice and short.
Yes.
It was brief. It didn't have a ton of stuff to recap and, like, keep up with, but it was just enough for us to kind of, like, dip our toes back in and get this moving.
And I remember when we left off, we were like, wow, this is a really good chapter to leave off on, because we get the hint about Gary, but now it's like, okay, now we're going to, like, the second act of the book, like, the second part where things are going to start building toward the conclusion. So
what I can say is we knocked
we're
this
pros.
Out of the park.
We're professionals.
If we were going to drop the book for 8 months and then pick it back up, we did it in the best possible
we
manner.
Really did. So my favorite line from this chapter was right at the end of the book when Percy says, I hadn't practiced my dive at all, but I figured I'd spent so much of my life plummeting downward, I'd be a shoo-in for first place. That's just typical Percy optimism.
Right? Well, and it just takes me back to them, like, dropping through the darkness.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought of the first book when he falls out of the tower.
Yeah. lot of falling.
He's not wrong. He has spent a long time falling.
Lots of falling.
Yeah. What was your favorite line?
Mine was an exchange between Percy and Grover, because why not? And Percy says, how many times did you mention Blanche while you were talking to Juniper? And Grover says, it's Blanche's photography. And Percy says, so a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, Percy's already got the reason why Juniper's upset.
He has to spell it out for Grover a little bit.
He's trying really hard to, like, lead Grover to it so that he's not saying, dude, you screwed up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and the look on Grover's face while he's doing that is like, uh-oh. he's leading me, oh, no, oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
So, it's just one of those perfect Percy Grover moments.
Yeah. Just love it. My favorite moment from this chapter was Percy giving Grover a hug, even though he was only in a swimsuit and still wet, and Grover just didn't care because he was like, yeah, it was a little awkward, but it also felt nice to, like, hug his friend and that they were kind of on the same page and reassuring each other, so it was cute. What was your favorite moment?
Mine was the setup for the chapter. So Grover walking in with a beret and this white, like, gown thingy and on. And, like, the sunglasses. Like, I just, the visual of Grover thinking that's, like, incognito, like, it's not at all. Like, what are you doing?
Was that what he was trying
to
do?
Well, I feel like he was trying to just, like, blend in with people.
I mean, I guess he was, he had to hide his horns, so the beret does make sense, yeah.
Yeah, I assumed he thought, like, oh, sunglasses, that's what they put on.
I just figured he was still, like, in Blanche's, like, artsy.
Maybe, yeah. And maybe that's part of it, too.
I feel like it's gotta be both.
But then also that Percy came in second because he didn't need the attention, which we kind of already talked about. It just made me giggle because it's like, yeah, he's being smart to do it that way. And that's, you know, that's a Percy thing. He's thinking it through. But at the same time, like, we know he does like the right attention.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Exactly. And that's it for that chapter. Pretty easy. Like you said, it was a good one to come back in on. And I feel like I'm right back in the story. Don't feel like we put it down for 7 or 8 months. And
yeah.
I'm really excited to get to the next couple of chapters.
Absolutely. Prophecy Radio is produced by Subjectify Media. You can contact Prophecy Radio directly on Instagram at Prophecy Radio Podcast or email us at prophecyradiopodcast@gmail.com. You can find us and our episodes on Spotify, Apple, or any of your favorite podcast platforms. Please consider leaving us a review or a rating. 5-star reviews help others to find us, and that is so appreciated. You can leave us questions, comments, or ideas for content or episodes you want to hear from us in either of those places. We do have some feedback this week. We are very happy to be back, and we love all of your messages. So I'm going to toss it to Karen for some brief ones.
Yes, so Cody Ian, AJS526, and Maria C. Steinmetz all said that they were happy to have us back, and I just wanted to shout them out because it did feel really nice that people missed us and were glad to hear our voices again.
Yay, thanks guys. Like, it is very, very nice.
Yeah.
Solomon sent us a lovely message about how he's glad the podcast has returned and he totally gets feeling burnt out and bummed out, but there's lots to look forward to still, and we definitely feel you.
Yeah.
I think we're both in a much better place. Just, you know, life sometimes gets in the way of the fun stuff, so I'm glad we get to get back to
and it's calmed down
stuff.
A little bit just in time for the holidays, but I'm feeling a little bit more like I'm on solid ground now, so hopefully this feeling stays and just gets better. But honestly, I feel like the podcast is going to help just with the routine and with hanging out and talking about something. I need some hobbies, you guys.
So thanks for hanging in there with us.
Yeah. So Megan's Book Nook 19 then said, listening now and so glad you guys are back. Congrats to Kristen. I'm planning a wedding now and can't even imagine how you did it in 6 weeks. Karen, good for you in taking care of yourself. More and more, I realize that a quiet life away from the hustle is all I want. Excited to continue the adventure with you. Thank you so much, Megan. Yes, it is really important to take care of yourself, and I also want to live away from the hustle. I just want to live in a big house in the woods with, like, 18 Great Danes and, like, my computer so I can write and take walks in the woods. 18's a lot of Great Danes. Maybe not that many. Maybe like 2 or 3 to start with. But yeah, I just, you know, the older I get, the more I just don't want to deal with people most of the time.
I mean, yeah, my ideal, like, space, you know, Alex and I talk about our house being our safe space. Like, I don't want to leave the bubble. Like, we have to leave the bubble today. Like,
definitely.
To go out in the world.
Yeah.
No. But I, you know, we talk, you know, we're planning on being in our house for a number of years, but, like, we have dreams of moving to a slightly bigger house, and I just keep thinking about potential, like, library office with all the shelves and just be surrounded by the books and just have, you know, artsy things that make me happy. It's like, someday. That's all I want. I just want a warm, cozy, bookishy room full of fun video games and things, a place with a really cozy chair that I could just, you know, sit down
in. I'm halfway there with my office, except it's been 2 years and I have hardly anything on the walls, so that's got to change.
I still haven't hung anything on my walls either. It's one of those things, like, people have pretty things on their walls and I'm like, when did you do that? Right away? Because other words, I feel like you forget.
Yeah.
It's in those things, or leaning up against a wall behind a door and you're like, oh yeah, I should hang those up.
Yeah. We just went over to his cousin's place where they hosted the big family Thanksgiving, and his cousin's wife was like, I had so much fun. I should set this up properly. They just bought a new house.
Ah.
And so I was seeing the new house for the first time, and she said, I had so much fun decorating it. And I was like, do you want to come over to our house and decorate it? Because she's like, yeah, as long as I don't have to spend my own money. I was like, you can spend my money. Just please do all the hard work. Like, so, I might honestly take her up on that.
I mean, I understand that. Yeah. Like, I would like to look and feel like an adult sometimes.
Yeah.
But then I also want space for, like, my fandom-y
goodies. Yeah, exactly.
Goodies. So, like, if someone can find a way to merge being a fandom girly with being an adult and, like, do it for me, I would take them up in an instant on that. Yeah, so I hear you.
Agreed. Also, I just want to say congratulations, Megan, on planning your wedding. That is super exciting. Very excited for you.
And I tell you, the only way we did it in 6 weeks was A, we wanted to keep it small. B, my husband was very much involved in helping me plan it.
Good.
We kept it very simple. It was not, you know, over the top. We did not care about the tablecloths or any of the, you know, like, some brides have been picturing their weddings their entire life and they know what they want it to look like, and it's very important, and by all means, like, I want you to have the wedding you want. But for me, I was never that girl.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I'm getting married. Like, I didn't think that was gonna happen. So putting the whole thing together and, like, you know, it was just like, oh, okay, I need a dress.
Yeah.
Dress is number one. Gotta do that first because that's going to take the longest. So it was just literally like step by step by step by step. And it all came together. And honestly, we got all of the things we wanted on the first try. Like, the photographer was free because we chose to get married on a Sunday. And the venue was free and honestly really inexpensive. So it was like, yeah, we're doing that, you know. So it just...
Free as in available.
Yes.
Not free as in...
No.
No charge.
Absolutely. It was available that day. Yes. So yeah, it was just kind of kismet. It just came together.
And it was so beautiful. Like, and you wouldn't think that it was that fast of a turnaround. Yeah. Like, everything just looked like it all went well together.
It was just what we wanted. Yeah. It came together pretty seamlessly, and we both kind of look back at it and go, how did we do that? So, I hope you have more time than I did. I'm glad you have more time than I did.
Yeah.
And I hope that it is absolutely beautiful and that you get all the lovely things together that you want.
Yeah.
And that it's just wonderful, because weddings are fun. They really are. They're a little stressful, but they're also fun. Next time, so in 2 weeks, we will be back with another episode. I think we're going to try doing two chapters, because we both remembered after reading one, the Chalice of the Gods is really short. Like, these chapters tend to be shorter. So we're going to try tackling chapters 22 and 23 when we come back. So you have 2 weeks to read them.
Yeah.
We will meet you back here once we have done so.
Yeah.
And we look forward to talking more about Percy and all the things. And maybe there'll be more news. We'll see.
Yeah. Or maybe not. But that's kind of why we were doing two chapters, too. Because if there's nothing really to talk about, I mean, I'm sure we'll find, like, one or two things, but...
If not, we can always talk about Wicked or whatever pops up.
Or Dreamlight Valley.
Because we love Dreamlight Valley.
Yeah.
All right. This is Kristen.
And I'm Karen.
And we're Prophecy Radio, signing off. Over and out.